violin lessons once. Never sounded like that song. Never. Wish I could. Let's turn in our Bibles now to Philippians chapter 2 for our scripture reading this morning. The first 13 verses of Philippians 2. I'll read the odd-numbered verses. Pastor Brian will lead you in the reading of the even-numbered verses. And shall we stand as we read the Word of God? If there be, therefore, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies,
fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind.
Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves.
Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus,
who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God,
but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men.
And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth,
and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that work of your Holy Spirit in our life that gives us the will, and the power of your Spirit in our life that gives us the power to do your good pleasure. Guide us, Father, we pray this day. We thank you for the powerful name of Jesus, the name above all names. And Lord, just minister to us today of that power in his name. And Father, as Pastor Brian leaves us after this service to go catch the plane for Brazil, to go down for the pastor's conference down there, go with him, go before him, and bless Father and use him as he ministers to those people in Brazil in this coming week. And Father, let your hand be upon him, strengthening, guiding, and blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, as we continue our journey through the Bible this week, we're in Isaiah chapters 7 through 13. So we encourage you to read those over and join with us tonight as we continue this exciting journey through the Bible, Isaiah. Wonderful chapters to study for this evening. This morning, we'd like to draw your attention to the 9th chapter of Isaiah, beginning with verse 6, where the prophet said in prophecy, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end, upon the throne of David, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. for the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah is looking forward to the birth of Christ, and he sees it in two perspectives. First, from the earthly side, unto us a child is born. But we recognize immediately it is no ordinary child. His birth had been long heralded and expected because of the prophecies of the scriptures. He was to be born to a virgin. He was to be born in a little village of Bethlehem. He would be a descendant of David, and one day he would sit upon the throne of David. And he would make his appearance 483 years after the commandment would go forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. We know that commandment was given by Artaxerxes in the year 445 BC, and so they should expect the Messiah to be there just about the year 33 AD, if the prophecies are going to be fulfilled. He was to be born of a virgin, Isaiah tells us, and she did bring forth her firstborn son, laid him in a manger, and so the prophecies of his coming were fulfilled. He was to be the human instrument of God to bring salvation unto man. So unto us a child is born, this remarkable child, the Son of God. That's from the human standpoint. Looking at it now from another perspective, from the heavenly standpoint, unto us a son is given. That child that was born in Bethlehem was God's only begotten Son, who he gave to the world in order to redeem us from our sins. This child, born to the Virgin Mary, was the Son of God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we are told here, in Isaiah, unto us the child is born, the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful for what he was before he came to this earth. In John's gospel, he tells us, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. We are told that he is the true light, which lights every man that comes into the world. That he was in the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came to his own, but his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, to them were given the power to become the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but by the will of God. And the Word was made flesh, and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has manifested him to us. John opens his first epistle with these words, that one who was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled for the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen him, and we bear witness and show unto you that eternal life that was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that you might have fellowship with us, And truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. John came to the realization, as did the other disciples, that as they were walking with Jesus, as they were talking with Him, as they touched Him, that they were actually walking with God. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have handled or touched. We were actually hearing God when He spoke to us. We were touching God when we reached out and touched Him. And that consciousness must have been an awesome consciousness as they began to contemplate after the resurrection of Jesus just exactly who He was. John tells us that, we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Paul tells us that He is not only the Creator, but He is the object of creation. In Colossians 1:15, Paul said, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible or invisible, and whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." Not only was He the Creator, but He was the object of creation. They were created for Him. As we look at this vast universe in which we live, and our own solar system, the Milky Way, it is such a small part of the entire universe. And as we look at the vast heavens above, and we read concerning God that He stretched out the heavens like a curtain, and He spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. When we try to conceive of the size of the universe, just our Milky Way galaxy is just baffling to us, but we realize that the Milky Way galaxy is only one of a billion galaxies in our universe. And stretching out, and as we say stretching out, God just stretched it out like a curtain. You know, the greatness of God, the wonders of God. You know, as a child, you always used to say, "Well, how big is God?" And we used to look at a tall building and say, "Well, is He as tall as that building, or is He taller than that building?" But in reality, so vast that this universe isn't big enough to contain Him. When I behold the heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon, the stars, which You have ordained, what is man that You are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that You should visit him? Solomon recognized the vastness of God and the heavens. He said, "The heavens of heavens cannot contain Him." How wonderful is that? His name is wonderful. The God of creation became a man, dwelt among us, that we might behold His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name is wonderful because of what He is presently doing in our lives, that wonderful work of His Spirit within us, His work of redemption for us. We who, because of our sins, were sentenced to death and eternal separation from God, He provided a way for us to escape the penalty of our sins by taking our sins upon Himself and paying the penalty for them, dying for our guilt. Like Isaiah said, all we like sheep had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way, and God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. "Who shall declare," Isaiah said, "His generation? For He was cut off out of the land of the living." But then he cries, "For the transgression of My people, He was stricken. And thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and for he shall bear their iniquities. So wonderful in the work that he has done as far as our redemption is concerned. As Paul wrote, God has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him. Talk about a deal. I don't know of a better deal. He takes our miserable life of sin and he exchanges for our sin his righteousness, takes upon himself our sin, and then imparts to us his righteousness. How can you afford to miss out on a deal like that? He is presently interceding for us. In Romans 8:34, Paul asks, who is he that condemns? And then he tells you who isn't condemning. He said, it is Christ who died, yea, rather is risen again, and is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Opposite of condemning us, he's making intercession for us. And in Hebrews, the writer said, wherefore he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come to God by him. Billy Sunday, who was a famous evangelist of yesteryear, back in the areas around Chicago and the Midwest, Billy Sunday used to interpret that, wherefore he is able to save to the guttermost, because before accepting Christ, he was a falling down drunk. And so he used to say, he is able to save to the guttermost all that will come unto God by him. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, for I shared with you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, but he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful because of what he has promised to us and made available to us for the future. He's promised to take us out of this world that we might be with him and dwell with him in his Father's house. As David wrote in Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The future that we have, because of this wonderful Savior that we have in Jesus Christ, dwelling forever with him in the kingdom of God. In Revelation 21:23, the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof, our wonderful Savior. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, and you hath he made alive, who were dead in your trespasses and sins, who in times past you walked or meandered, really the Greek word, according to this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that even now is working in the children of disobedience. Talking about your life before Christ, you were just meandering through life. Meander is an interesting word. It's named, actually there's a river, the Meander River there in Ephesus, and it's a river that just winds back and forth, it travels for about 5 miles that only makes 1 mile progress on the map looking at but yet because of the meandering, it just What do you think when you see a person meandering through the mall? My wife, I walked through the mall. She meandered through the mall. Looking at one store and then, going over and looking in the other store and back and forth and so forth. And, one time we were out for dinner and we were right across from Marshall's. And she had to pick up some tablecloths for the women's fellowship. And so we made an agreement, and that, marriage is adjustments. And so we made an agreement early in our marriage that she can go wherever she wants as long as I don't have to go with her. She can go shopping anytime she wants, and that's fine with me, just so I don't have to go shopping. It's just not me to like to go shopping. But we were there eating dinner, and we were right across the street from Marshall's, and she looked at me and she said, "Oh, honey, I have to get these tablecloths for the women's ministry, and they had them on special at Marshall's. You wouldn't want me to have to drive back here all alone, would you? We're right here, and we're just right across the street. And would you mind going with me, after dinner, just so I can get these tablecloths for the women?" And so she gave me those big blue eyes and so forth. And "You wouldn't want me to have to drive all by myself." And so I said, "Okay, we'll make a deal. I'll go with you. You can get your tablecloths." So we went into Marshall's, and I looked up and I saw where the housewares and all were. So I headed back to that department, and I got back there, and I turned around and Kay wasn't with me. I'm sort of a gadget freak, and they had some interesting kitchen gadgets. And so I was looking at them, and I finally got a little embarrassed because I had spent quite a bit of time and she wasn't there yet. And I thought, well, maybe, something happened to her when we came in and I ought to check on her. So I went back walking through the store, and back right at the entrance to the store with the dress department. And here she was looking through for dresses. And I said, "Honey, I thought you had to get tables." "Oh, I do." And, they were announcing, "The stores are going to close in 15 minutes. Bring your stuff to the counters, and get your checkout." And so we went back then and got the tablecloths. But she meanders. I walk. When you see a person meandering through the mall, to me it tells me they're really not going anywhere. They're just killing time. They just... She disagrees with me on this, she says, "I'm not killing time. I'm really just looking. It's important that I look," and so forth. But that's our problems. But we got them solved. She shops, and I don't have to go, and so that's all right. Where was I? In times past, you meandered according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air that works now in the children of disobedience, among whom also you once lived, as you were living after the lust of your flesh and after the pride of life, and you were by nature a child of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, has made us alive together in Christ. For by grace are you saved. And he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show unto us the exceeding riches of his love and grace towards us in Jesus Christ. The future, endless ages to come, revealing unto us, oh, the riches of his love and his grace towards us in Christ Jesus. And looking toward this endless future, at the wonderful things he has in store, we put our faith and our trust in him, and we say, oh, how wonderful is his name. His name is indeed wonderful. The question is, do you know my wonderful Savior? Have you come to place your trust in him? Have you believed him for the work that he did for you? Have you received from him the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life that he has promised to us? The Bible tells us, but as many as did receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to those who believed upon his name, who were born not by the will of man nor the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. Father, we thank you for this wonderful Savior that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for your Son that you sent to this world to redeem us from our sins and to give us a hope for the future, the hope of eternal life with you in your kingdom. And Lord, as we look around at the world in which we live and we see the chaos, Lord, that exists in our world, we realize, Lord, that these things are necessary and are precursors to your soon return for your church. Thank you, Lord, that we have a hope for the future, a wonderful hope and a wonderful Savior, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. And so, Father, we pray now that those that do not know you, those that do not know what a wonderful Counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace that you are, may this be the day that they come to realize how wonderful you really are, how wonderful you want to be to them in forgiving them their sins and making them your children. And so, Father, work now in those hearts and lives of those that are here who really don't know the wonderful Savior that we've come to know as we've come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, and for his sake, amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here at the front to minister to you today. And so if you have not yet received Jesus as your wonderful Savior, we would encourage you to do so. Rather than heading for the exits as we are dismissing, you'll just come on down to the front and just let these pastors know you'd like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today. Guaranteed, you'll never regret it. It'll be a blessing that you'll always look back on this day as the greatest day in your life, the day you submitted your life to follow Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to do that, and may the Lord be with you, watch over you, keep you in his love, fill you with his Spirit, give you a great day today with your family on this holiday weekend, and just keep his hand upon you, cause you to become everything he wants you to be as you yield your life to him. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. Think of it. The wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. God bless you.